Well, good morning, Deech, this morning. It's good to see all those who are gathered out, and it's good to be here with you again. I missed last Sunday being here when Vernon preached. I would love to have been here. And I preached at Calvary, and my plan this morning was to bring that message and preach the same one here, and I was not aware that we would have two young men from Calvary in this congregation. So I'm sorry, I guess, that you have to hear it again. But I've asked people partway through the week, so what did your preacher preach about on Sunday, and they can't hardly remember anyway. So maybe it won't matter if they hear it two Sundays in a row. We'll just say they'll have to take it two times in a row. I knew my family would, but that's part of what I think they're going to have to possibly put up with or endure over the next number of years, because I'm not sure I can always come up with a new one. So for this morning, I was thinking more about it probably over a week ago than what I did this past week, but we think about a lot of things that coming through the Thanksgiving season, I thought about a lot of things that we're thankful for, and I don't know how you are, but when I start thinking about things to be thankful for, it is things. It's things that we have, and you know, we don't deserve anything. Everything we have is something that we have because God gave it to us. And as children of God, that's what we need to believe. That's what I believe. And that is that what I have is simply what God gave me. And with that comes a responsibility. And that's where I'd like to take the sermon this morning. I've titled the message, Using What God Gives Us to Build His Kingdom. Using what God gives us to build his kingdom. For a text, you can turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to take my thoughts from a parable. The parable of the man with talents. The man that handed out talents to his servants. Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. Pretty much going to stay in this chapter this morning, stay in these verses, and just try to make it come alive in a new way. I'm sure you all have heard this preached before, but in some way, when I was reading this in my devotions, I don't know, a number of weeks ago, and I had a devotional on it at another congregation, somebody encouraged me I should preach on it. And so I decided to do that. I did it last Sunday, and I guess I'll do it again this Sunday. Let's read Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave five talents, and to another two, and to another one, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of their servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went, and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This morning as we look at this parable, I see it as portraying, what we read in verse 14 was, for the kingdom of heaven. This parable has to do with those who are part of the kingdom of heaven. And the first part of the message here, I'd like to think a little bit about the two kingdoms. We know there's two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of heaven, there's a kingdom of earth. And in this life, we can choose which one we're going to be a part of. The kingdom of heaven is here now. It's also going to be in eternity. The kingdom of this earth is here now. It also has a spot in eternity. But there's two different a huge difference is between that destination. When we think about the kingdom of this earth, when we think about kingdoms, you think about there's somebody in control of the kingdom. We think about the kingdom of heaven here, and it says about a man. If we think about the kingdom of heaven, God is in control of that. Think about the kingdoms of this earth, and we think about the Satan. And we could go to Ephesians chapter 2, and it calls him the prince of the power of the air. He is the one that is controlling this earth. He's the one that is controlling many, many people in this earth. He's the one that's trying to get people to serve themselves and only themselves. And they end up living a life of captivity, a life of emptiness, a life of loneliness, jealousy, hatred, bitterness, evil addictions, and all the works of darkness. That's the kingdom of this world. And you know, we know what that was like. Each one of us here that's been born again, we were once part of that kingdom. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3 says this, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." That's who we were. We were serving that kingdom, the kingdom of this earth. "We're in end time past, he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." We were part of this kingdom. Right? Every one of us at one point, before we were saved, we were serving that kingdom. Serving the prince of the power of the air, Satan, that rose that kingdom. But Jesus says right shortly before he was crucified that now is the judgment of this world. And we know there's a time coming. "Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." There's a time coming where the kingdoms of this world will be no more. Forever. We read about that in the end of this chapter 30 where it talks about the unprofitable servant, where he's going to be cast out, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's the one kingdom. And you can read in Revelation 19, 20 and 21 about the two kingdoms and about how the one kingdom is going to be cast with the devil into the lake of fire. And the other kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, is going to be in eternity with God. And that's what part we want to be. That's who we want to be a part of. When we start to think about the kingdom of heaven, then our mind switches and we think about God. And I thought about what Jesus said in his trial before Pilate in John chapter 18, verse 36. Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." What did he tell Peter when Peter took out a sword to save Jesus? He said, "Put away thy sword. My servants aren't here to fight." This is what I believe Jesus was teaching the two kingdoms. This is the reason I didn't get involved in politics and fight. Jesus says, "My kingdom's not of this world. It's a different kingdom." If we're part of the kingdom of heaven, if we're part of the kingdom that's not of this world, then we have no part in trying to maintain my rights. We simply want to be a part of God's kingdom, in his kingdom. Jesus talks about it in Matthew chapter 5. You can go to Matthew chapter 5. He talks about what being a part of this kingdom is like and who is a part of this kingdom. Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to read a couple of the verses that talks about this kingdom. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 says, "This is people who's part of this kingdom. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Verse 10 to 12, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." This is the other kingdom. It's not about me. It's not about myself. It's about giving of myself. Jesus teaches later on in Matthew chapter 5, "Whosoever shall break one of these least commandments shall teach men so. He shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be great in the kingdom of heaven." What we do with God's commandments, what we do with what Jesus commands, affects which kingdom we're serving, which kingdom we're part of. He says this, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, whose righteousness was simply saying the right things and not living them out practically, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." We know that Jesus taught in his, when he taught his disciples to pray, he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Thy kingdom come, the kingdom of heaven. That is going to be there, but it's here, also here now. We can be part of that kingdom. We can be part of the people that's carrying out the will of God now in this life so that we can live with him for all eternity. Being a part of the kingdom of heaven brings peace and joy, inner peace and joy. And Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says this, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." And I trust this morning that each one here that is part of the kingdom of heaven can have that feeling. The two kingdoms. And you serve one or the other. Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter 6 that there's two places to lay up rewards in, one or the other. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through or steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." And I think about how there's nothing on this earth that's very secure. Recently, I was at the bank, and two ladies came in, an older lady and a middle-aged lady. They were both older than me. But they came in, and they says, we want to rent a safe, a deposit safe. And they're like, okay. The man said, yeah, we can take you back. So they took them back through the little door, and they went through this big, thick end of the vault. "Now you pick your box." And they picked their box, and then they came out, and they sat down at a table, and they were discussing, what were we going to put in there? They were going to put things in there. Somehow in this life, it's hard to keep your stuff secure. And they thought maybe this would work. There was somebody they were trying to keep things from. And they were going to get this one little box. And I thought, we just read that anything down here you try to stack up will be lost eventually. But we can lay it up in heaven. And nobody can take that from us. We have no worries. Jesus also teaches that no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve these two kingdoms. People try. And it's a little bit like jobs. There was, years ago, I knew a man that had two jobs. And he had two jobs for many years. And I'm going to say a year or so ago, maybe longer, I met him. And I said, "Hey, how is the one job you're doing gone?" And he looked at me and he says, I forget if he was going to quit the next day or was within a week. It was within a short time. He said, "I'm going to quit." I said, "You're quitting?" "Yeah." He says, "I just can't do two things. I've done it enough. I lived my life too many years trying to please two masters. Finally, one had to give." And he says, "I'm going to do the other thing. I'm going to commit my whole life to this." I've worked with many young men over the years that I've watched fight that battle. They wanted to serve both kingdoms. And I was there myself one day. And you know, eventually we get weary and we say it's going to be one or the other. And we have to make that decision. We're going to serve either the kingdom of heaven or we're going to serve the kingdom of this earth. You cannot forever serve both. It will not work. So that brings me to the question I asked you this morning, and that is, which kingdom are you serving? Which kingdom are you a part of? If I asked for a raise of hand who your master is and said, who is your master? Who are you serving? Would it be God? Would it be Jesus? That's my master. That's who I'm serving. I trust that it would be. So this morning, this parable is for those that are part of the kingdom of heaven. This parable is not, I believe, is not for the people of the kingdom of this world. It says for the kingdom of heaven, and then it describes a picture of what it's going to cost us to be a part of this kingdom. What does it mean if I say that God is my master, I'm going to follow Jesus? What does that require of me in my life? What does that mean to me? Well, we see this in verse 14, that there was this man traveling into a far country. And I like to take that man and say that's God, or we could say it's Jesus that was here at one point in time. And he lived on this earth, and he taught his disciples, and he left us many wonderful words to read. But now he has gone into heaven, and he needs his people to take up the work. And he's calling for his servants. And I find that very easy to parallel in the business world. And that is, those who own businesses, sometimes they get involved in other things, And whenever we do, we call on our employees, our servants, people that are working for us. If I was going to go away, or if Sherman was going to go away, and he needed his garage door business to continue to work, he would not call on me or on the fellows that work for me because his business wouldn't work. Jesus says, I'm going away. This man's gone away. And he was calling on his own servants. He was calling on people that said, Lord, I'm going to serve you. That's what we said when we knelt at the cross and said, Lord, I'm going to live for you the rest of my life. We're saying, Lord, I'm going to be your servant. And that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus is not here, but he's given us things. And he's calling on us as his servants to come take up the work. He is not calling on people. He's calling on volunteers. Servants, employees, or people that came to work for a company. And they said, we want to work for you. Or we will work for you. And there was negotiation that at the end of the job, at the end of the week, there would be a payout. And there's going to be money. There's going to be a reward exchanged. That was who these servants were. That's who we are. We said, Lord, I'm going to serve you. And at the end, Jesus is saying, I got a reward for you. Jesus is not handing this responsibility. We do not hand responsibilities as business people over to slaves, people we've grabbed around the neck and say, now you're going to serve us. I'm going away and you're going to do exactly what you're supposed to do while I'm gone. No, it wouldn't work. Jesus is calling for people that have voluntarily came to him and says, Lord, we're going to serve you. That's who he needs to take up the work. This morning, do you care about what happens with God's kingdom? With your master's business, do you care about it? I care about it. I used to work for a company, and I wanted to see that company succeed. If you work for a business, if the girl's making donuts, don't you hope that when you make donuts that your employer has a good day? You hope people come buy the donuts because you want your employer, you want his business to succeed. If I'm working for somebody, I want to see their business succeed. That's a servant. And that's what Jesus is hoping, is wanting us, that it would be our desire to see his business grow, his business succeed. And it will succeed, whether we help it or not, by the way. So just some things he did here. He first of all called his servants, and just so you know, in the business world and in the kingdom of heaven, the reward isn't gained by doing nothing. If you're working for a company, you're working for an employer, and you do nothing, you will soon lose your job. If you're going to be a part of the kingdom of heaven and you want the reward at the end of the day, you need to be busy today. You need to work to build his kingdom. And this man, it says when he went away, he gave out responsibilities. And I believe when he went away, he called all of his servants. He didn't just call a couple of them. So this morning, if you're here, he wants each one of us. And he handed out different abilities. He handed out some people maybe many options to serve. And some people maybe less options to serve. But he handed out difference. We see the different amount of talents. We see the 5 talents, the 3 talents, the 1 talent. He says, I need everyone that's my servant to get involved in the work. I have something for you to do. And you know, these servants did not get to pick what they got. I don't believe the servant that got 5 talents said, Lord, give me at least 5. I don't believe the servant that got 2 said, give me at least 2. The master simply handed these things out and says, here's what you have. Here's what I give you. Use it. Build my kingdom. This morning, that's where we find ourselves. You're sitting on the bench beside your brother or sitting on the bench beside your sister, and you have different opportunities. There's people here that own businesses. That's an opportunity. Maybe it's construction or garage doors. There's people here that possibly does design work. There's truckers involved in selling lawnmower parts and equipment, working on pressure washers, making ice cream and donuts. And all these different areas of life we find ourselves in, we have a responsibility. It's not just for fun. It's not just, but we're expected to use the opportunities God gives us to build his kingdom. He also gives us different things in life. Maybe you have a little bit of land and a little house. Maybe you live in the city. Maybe you live in the country. Maybe you live in the woods. All these things are things that we have, and we need to take what God gives us and try to build his kingdom. Is this how I feel about what God has given me? Or do I somehow feel like that I've worked and I've deserved it and now it's mine? Well, moving on to the second part of the message. I want to just look at the servants a little bit and see what we can learn from these servants. Point number one is what not to do. I think, first of all, I'm going to go to the last servant and see what he did with the one talent, because it kind of feels weird ending on that note. So I think I'm just going to go there first. The mistakes the servant with the one talent made. And we'll read verse 24 again. Then he that received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Here was a servant that was handed an opportunity and a talent. And what did he do? Letter A, he focused on himself and his fear. I see a man here who was given an opportunity. He was given an opportunity to take what God had given him. Even though it was only one little thing that he had an opportunity to use it. And what did he do? He didn't use it. First of all, he tried to blame the master that gave it to him, that it was your fault. It wasn't my fault that I didn't use it. It was your fault. I knew you were unfair. I was afraid. And he was thinking only about himself. Maybe he realized that there were other people around him that had more opportunities. Maybe he thought they had better options, better things to work with. Maybe he thought they had more gifts. And he thought, I'm just going to dig a hole and bury mine. Afraid to use the one that he had. And we know what the end was. This man was focusing on himself. And what might happen if he doesn't quite do it right, rather than focusing on God and his kingdom? And what can I do with what I have to build his kingdom? Letter B. I have, don't just do nothing. Doing nothing is not an option. That's what this servant said. That's what this servant did. The master said, thou wicked and slothful servant. Slothful would maybe be lazy. This man says, I've got a talent, was given a talent, but he did not put any energy, any effort, nothing into it. You know, as business owners, or as people that hire, when you're working for somebody, I already made this statement that if you don't work, you're probably going to lose your job. And in my previous employment, I worked with many new employees, and I've said over and over again to new employees when they would come, I would say this, I would say, don't just do nothing. Do something. And just clean up or something, because even if it's not benefiting you, it might benefit the next person coming behind you. It might benefit the other person that is very involved. So this morning, if you feel like you only have one talent, if you don't feel like you have five, or you don't feel like you have two, you feel like you only have one, at least use that one and do something. There's something you can do. I was blessed about 2 weeks ago. I was studying for a sermon assignment I had taken on, and it was feeling kind of heavy to me. And I got this message one morning from a brother at Calvary. And I didn't know who it was. I got this message, this man said, I'm thinking about you. I thought I'd let you know. And it meant so much. This man wasn't even my contact list. I just had a number and I sent back, thanks, but who are you? And that's kind of weird when somebody messages saying they're thinking about you. But I didn't know who it was. But this was the man, and that man has more than one talent, I'll assure you. But he was using one of those talents and just reaching out there and saying, I thought about you. And we can, that's a simple thing, but that's building the kingdom. Anything we do like that to help encourage somebody else that's in the kingdom of heaven on their way, it's building the kingdom. Point number two, how to use talents we are given. This morning I have some practical things I'm going to go across, and I did tell my wife that it was easier to go across practical things at Calvary than it is at Winchester, because up there I didn't know people, and people didn't know if I knew them or not, so I'm a little bit, I'm not saying these things to try to get people, if you understand what I mean, but I just, if I'm going to say it there, I'm going to say it here, and it's stuff I believe. I really believe in my heart that's true, but I'm not trying to pick on people, I'm not trying to point people out. If you feel convicted, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. But it is different when you don't know the people as well as you know here. But so point number two is how to use the talents we're given. Letter A, have focus on the opportunities you have and use them. And I think about an audience like this, how many talents are here? Every person has their own little gift, whether it's relating to people, whether it's reaching out to needy people, whether it's whatever it is, we have little things. Every person has their own little talent. God has given it. He has designed it that way. So this morning, there's no one here that's given their heart to the Lord that can say, I'm free. There's nothing I need to do. There is. If you have enlisted in the kingdom of heaven, you're part of the kingdom, then there's a responsibility you need to do. So this morning, there's a few things that I've written down, and that is if you're a young person here this morning, maybe you're still living at home and have recently given your heart to the Lord, you can build the kingdom. And you say, how can I build the kingdom? Well, you can build the kingdom simply by being at home and being an example to younger brothers and sisters and showing them what the joy of the Lord and what a transformed life can look like and be like. Joyfully serve your parents, teachers, anybody in authority over you, just serve them. That's how you build the kingdom. That's how you be a part of the kingdom, and that is use what you have now, the opportunity you're given now to build. And this morning, if you're in your late teens, in your early 20s, use the energy God gave you to do more than just the things you want to do for yourself. Don't pour all your energy into making money, hunting, camping, thrift shopping, or doing whatever else your favorite thing is. It's okay, I believe, to pour some energy into this, but I sometimes get disturbed by the amount of energy that's put into doing these things, things for myself, when there's things that we could be doing to build the kingdom of God, and we're responsible for these things. When you're making and serving ice cream, and when you're making and serving donuts, throw your energy into it. I was blessed, by the way, when I came in to get donuts to see the smiles. Happy young people. Teenagers that are smiling are not very common. They aren't. You look around, there's a lot of distressed people, a lot of tattooed, ring-eared. And just to see a happy, joyful young person serving is wonderful. Make sure you're serving people with a smile. Show them you care about them. Thank your employer for what he does for you. Be diligent in your work. And if you make a mistake, own up, don't cover up. It's hard when you're working for somebody and you know you made a mistake to go and tell the employer, you know what, I've messed up. There's something that I did. I broke something. I did whatever. But do it anyway. And in that, the employer's going to see, here's someone that cares. Here's someone that is worried about somebody other than himself, because obviously it makes you look bad. Use the opportunities God gives you to build his kingdom. Find ways to help those in need. Find ways to give of your time, whether it's giving money that you perhaps would have spent on your other things. If you have a job this morning, be putting money in the offering basket. And God bless you for the offering this morning. I'd hate to make that statement on a minister's offering morning. But it's important on all the other Sundays to put something in. It is. Because that's how you build the kingdom. That's how you take what God has given you and the opportunities he's given you to make money to bless other people. Throw your energy into cleaning up after the fellowship meal rather than hiding out somewhere. Maybe not every time, but sometimes. Help to build the kingdom. Do things that you know you can do. Cam has many projects going that you can get involved in as a young person. And I regret in my young years that I worked just too much. I'll admit, I probably did, because that's what I did. Never went on a CAM project. And to this day, I kind of regret that, because I should have. And having it back in my mind, maybe sometime I will. Whether I do or not, I don't know. But serve. Find a way in your young years to serve other people. And God bless you, Travis, for your energy you put in with the search and rescue thing. That's a wonderful thing. I think it's something that young people, if you have a mind to do something like that, it can be a blessing. It's a way to pour your energy into the kingdom. This morning, perhaps you're a mother, and your time mostly consists of tending children. Maybe you feel there's not much you can do. And I think probably every woman goes through that battle in her life where the baby's crying when you wake up, and they're crying when you go to bed, and they're crying halfway through the night. And you just get weary and think, what can I do? Well, you're doing what you're supposed to do. You're building the kingdom is just taking those little children and holding them and loving them, singing to them about God, teaching them about God through nature. When that thunder booms and the lightning flashes, tell your children that's God. That's the power of God. You have many opportunities because you go to the doctor's office and you go to the store and you go places. You have many opportunities. People comment on your children. Point them to God. God gave them to me. Yes, he did. And if they point out to the fact that your children are being haved, which sometimes they do when we go away, and people comment, you say, it's the Bible way works. It's not of my good management. It's what is taught. It's what God teaches in his word. And we have many opportunities over this time of the year, I believe, to point people to Jesus. I was with my two sons at a hardware store yesterday, and I met a man, and he's like, said to my sons, he said, so you ready for Santa? My boys look at him like, and I says, we don't celebrate Santa in our house. It's about Jesus. Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. It's about Jesus. That's what Christmas is about. Use the opportunities God gives you to build his kingdom. Look for those opportunities. Maybe you love to sew. And I know there's ladies here that love to sew. And sew clothes for your own children, sew clothes for yourselves. But if you don't need another dress and you like to sew, sew for somebody else. Somebody for that doesn't make you money. So for Cam, there's comforts needed. There's places that people need things sewn for. Pour your energy in to your gift that God has given you, to what you like to do. Find a way to bless somebody. Much more than just doing it for yourself. If you're really good at making food and you ladies make some wonderful food, and I was a recipient of it, and I felt kind of a little bit whatever over that whole thing, but it was a blessing that people was there to serve and to give. That's taking things that you like to do and blessing others. That's building a kingdom. And maybe you feel like I'm not just really good at any of these things. Well, then do like that brother did to me and just send somebody a message and say, don't just send the praying hands and not pray. That doesn't do anything, by the way. You need to pray. Send the hands and pray and say, I've prayed for you. This is what I've done. That's building the kingdom. So maybe you're like me this morning, and you're a father. And we have many opportunities in our work to build the kingdom. But are we building God's kingdom? When people meet and see us, do they see the kingdom of God? Or do they see our kingdom, our business, our truck? Or do they see God's kingdom? Maybe you as a father don't feel like you have the ability to lead songs. or share really inspirational devotions, or teach Sunday school like others can. God gives differing abilities. He really does. And I believe that. But that doesn't say sit down and bury the talent. That says put into action what he gave you. There's advantages to having different levels of abilities in a congregation. And maybe if you don't think Sunday school teaching is for you, get involved in the Sunday school lesson enough on Saturday that on Sunday you can pipe up and at least give an answer and build the kingdom that way. Look for people with needs and reach out to them and bring their names to prayer meeting. Things that we can do to help build the kingdom of God. We have children. We as fathers have children. We need to teach them the responsibility to shoulder work. We need to teach them to work and to shoulder the responsibility that work brings. We need to teach them what crucifying the flesh looks like. This is how we as fathers help to build the kingdom. We need to be there when there's a work day going on and take time to tell those we work with and who we work for about God and about what he has done in our life. Use the talent that God has given you. He has given you at least one. At least one. And maybe he's given you many. Maybe you have many opportunities. And I thought about in the parable, you know, the man that had five talents, I'm going to liken him to a man that had many opportunities. And he used every one of them. It says he gained five talents more. What if he would only gain four? What if he would have had many, many opportunities to witness to people when he only did it on four areas, and the one area that he spent his life in, he did not? Would he have been any different than the man that was given one talent and didn't use the one? If he was given many opportunities and used four but not five. Someday, we will need to answer for what we did with our talents. And if we're going to be a part of that kingdom over there, that we want to be a part of, we need to be a part of that kingdom now and building his kingdom. Letter B, don't focus on the opportunities of others and what they're doing with them. I thought of Peter. When Jesus was giving Peter work and he says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said, yea, Lord, I love thee. He said, feed my lambs. And he asked him three times. And Simon says, yes. And he said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And then Peter thinks, I've got a lot of responsibility here. And he looks around and says, but what's he going to do over there? What's that man's job? And you know, if we're involved in kingdom work, if we want to see the kingdom grow, we need to be fully engrossed in what we're called to do. And not look around us and say, well, what about him? He's the same age as me. He has the same amount of children. He actually has less things going than me. He should be doing it. We need to just simply look at ourselves and say, God, what can I do to build your kingdom? What have you asked me to do to build your kingdom and grow those things? Letter C, we also need to learn to grow in areas that you may think are your weak points. And I'm going to use the illustration here of a child, a father and a child. So how many here, probably all of you here, have gotten your child a bicycle? And you took that thing home, and you said, now I want you to ride. And the son said, I can't ride a bike. I don't know how to ride a bike. And you say, well, you have to try. You have to get on it. You got to pedal it. You're going to fall down. It's not going to always go right. But you can ride a bicycle because everybody else can. Pretty much. That is what God may be asking of you. He may give you a responsibility. You say, I can't do this, Lord. And I know what that feeling feels like. You say, I can't do this, Lord. And God says, but I know you can. Does the child learn by not doing it? No. So if you're given a responsibility, if you're to have devotion, say, I can't have devotions, you need to just do it and allow God to work. And eventually, you'll be riding a bicycle. Now, not every child can ride wheelies. Not every child can ride without hands. But everyone can ride. And I'm convinced this morning that when God is asking you to use what he's given you to build his kingdom, that he didn't ask something that he knows you can't do. Do you believe that? I believe it's true. So if you're called into a place of responsibility, if somebody has asked you to do something, I think you should try and put all your effort into it and do the best you can. And there'll be a blessing in that. We see people putting effort into all kinds of things. And it's amazing what they can do. Who would ever thought you could ride a ripstick? A bike's one thing, but a ripstick. And I have not mastered a ripstick, and I guess I haven't practiced long enough. But people learn to ride things. They learn to do things they put energy into. In the world in which we live, if we take the energy that we have and put it into God's kingdom, and we want to see his kingdom grow, it will grow. And we can be a part in this life, and we can be a part in eternity. In closing, I just want to read the last couple verses here of chapter 25 again, verse 29 and 30. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This morning we have two options. When the Lord returns and he's coming back, and he's going to reckon and say, what have you done? What have you done to build my kingdom? What have you done with the opportunities that I've given you? What have you done? And if we are faithful with what he has given us and use it faithfully, we will reap an abundant reward. And we will be able to be a part of that kingdom for all eternity. Praise God. And if not, oh, how terrible to hear the words, I never knew you. You spent your whole life doing your own thing, building your own kingdom, and doing nothing for my kingdom. Depart from me. Are we building our kingdom or his kingdom? We will be rewarded accordingly. Let me kneel for prayer.